Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Delicious Talk Radio. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. That was the late Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing. Alrighty then, hope everybody's weekend is winding down, coming to an end on Friday, and hope everybody enjoys their weekend. When it gets here today, it was kind of rainy, but it still was a beautiful day, because if you're listening to my voice, you all woke up on this side of the dirt, and thank God for that. All right, this evening we have a very special guest. Her name is Sienna Sinclair, and she is the most entrepreneurial and inventive person in the American adult industry today. having created her own naughty empire. She's leading the way as a single most diverse and forward-thinking individual in adult entertainment. Sienna has been in the adult industry for over 7 years, working as an adult model for her website, www.siennasinclair.com. She's known for embracing both the glamour and the fetishize of sexuality. She directs all of her own movies on her site and specializes in vintage, burlesque, glamour, fetish, and pin-up content. Sienna is also certified as a love, relationship, and career coach and is getting certification as a sex coach through Sex Coach U. She can help you with dating, self-confidence, sexual issues, and more. Plus, she's a veteran writer who frequently utilizes her skills on her website to help fans with advice ranging from sex to naughty travel tips. Sienna, too, is an author who started her writing career when she landed an internship after college for a magazine in London, UK. Now, if you guys are all ready for this show, you know, sit back and relax. If you have questions or comments, feel free to call in. And as usual, my shows are for the grown and sexy, adults, meaning 18 and over. And if you're not that age, hope you have parental consent, because I'm not going to be held responsible for anything that you hear on my show. Without further ado, I'm going to bring in our special guest this evening and get this show on the road. Good evening, Sienna. How are you, darling?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for the introduction.
You're welcome. I am fantastic, dear. Tell us a little bit about Sienna, you know, where you were born and, you know, coming up, do you have any siblings? And then we'll get off into how you got into the adult entertainment field.
Well, I don't tell people where I was born, but I was born in the U.S., and I do have one brother and one sister. And I got into the adult industry when I was living over in the U.K. when I was working for the magazine, because I was traveling a lot and visiting different places, and I've always been someone who is more interested in the naughty side of the city. So I had a blog on where to go for naughty things to do in different cities in Europe. And then when I came over back to the U.S., I was young. You know, I was still just got out of college, and I didn't have a lot of money, but I still wanted to travel. So that's when I got into dancing. So I used to live in D.C., where I would dance in, as a stripper in D.C., Vegas, and New York City. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of went from there. And then once I moved, then I moved back to London for about a year, and then I came back the U.S. and decided to live in California, Los Angeles, because this is just where all the naughtiness is.
Oh, okay. So explain to the listeners just what the adult entertainment is, because when, you know, when some folks hear it, they think basically it's pornography and, you know, different things of that nature. But explain exactly what the adult entertainment entails of.
Yes.
And what's your part
in? A lot of different things. It can entail sexual health products to vibrators to sex coaches to sex surrogates, people who work in porn, strip clubs, escorts. Kind of it entails anything that has to do with the sexual issues.
Okay. Now, just what is your part in it? Do you are you into porn along with the vintage and burlesque and fetish and all that?
Well, that's how I started, was with porn. I did, and I still do sometimes, but I did solo, which means you do photo shoots and videos by yourself, and it can include anything, nudity, masturbation. And then I also did girl-girl, but I never did girl-boy, but I do film girl-boy, which
mm-hmm.
is a personal choice that I chose to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also do... Well, after that, I started getting into sex coaching. People would always come to me with wanting me to help them. So I got certified in that, and I have a sex coaching website that people can go to. And I also do I write naughty travel books. So my first one was on Los Angeles. It's called Naughty Girls Guide to LA. And it's been out for 2 years, and it won 2 book awards for Best Travel Book of 2013. And the Las Vegas book comes out in December, and then San Francisco comes out next year.
Okay. Can you give us a little bit of what's in that book?
The LA one? Do you mean the Los Angeles one, right? Or just any of them?
I didn't hear you, hon. What did you say?
Oh, the Los Angeles one or just all of them?
Well, you can give us a little bit of what's in all of them then.
Okay, so all of them pretty much it's just like a travel guide, but it's naughty. So just as if you would pick up a travel book and want to know where to go to restaurants, the best restaurants, or do a tour guide of the city, I offer you the sexiest restaurants, maybe the naughtiest. There are some naughty ones here in L.A. And I also offer you, instead of the Hollywood home tour, I offer you the naughty Hollywood home tour. And it goes from tame, because I believe everyone has their own naughty level, so to extreme. So the book's for everyone, whether you're a local or a tourist.
Okay, and that's
and also offers, huh?
That's taking like little naughty articles such as dildos and different things of that sort. Or is that what that book is about? Your naughty travel book.
No, it's all travel. It's just like a travel guide, but naughty.
Oh, okay.
So also, yeah. So any, like I said, anything that you think of in a travel guide, it would be in this book, but it would be naughty.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's a dream. And then it also offers, it's a great coffee table book, and it's the L.A. one is the first, has the first history section on L.A.'s naughty history, and it also has beautiful photography throughout the book. Sexy photos.
Oh,
your,
okay.
Your travel book, is that, when you say naughty, is that like, is it sexually explicit, like fantasies or using adult novelty when you're traveling, or can you elaborate on that a little
no,
bit?
No, the whole reason why I use the word naughty is because when I lived in London, everyone, people would call people, like, you know, there's that, it's kind of a playful term in London, naughty. It's kind of like a cheeky monkey. So so that's why I use the word naughty, because it can entail anything. It can entail tame, being sexy, to extreme. And just like when people say naughty or nice, it's kind of a cheeky way, you know, to say something. So it is everything. It goes from being sexy to being very naughty, kinky, whatever you want.
Okay.
So I'm trying to take the word naughty and make it a little bit more nice.
Okay.
I know,
okay,
the Americans, so their take on it is a little bit like extreme when I say the word naughty.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you also were into burlesque. How did that come about? Did you do the burlesque before you did the your porn, or how did that come about?
No, I started doing burlesque because, let me think back, it's been so long now. I did stripping first and then adult work and then burlesque. But it came about because the way that I do my adult work, everything, I want people to know that it can be sexy, because when people think of porn, they think of raunchy, and again, with the word naughty, they just think of, you know, or fetish, they think of whips and chains and all this stuff. Well, I'm trying to put a little sexy back into naughty. So when I did my burlesque, I keep it classical dance. So, and that means back in like the 30s and 40s, it was like either long gowns, very, you know, Hollywood style dance. And,
right, the big feathers, and I do remember the burlesque,
So if you visit my websites, they're very classy, just because I want people to know that just because something's naughty doesn't mean it has to be sleazy or slutty or anything like that.
Right, that is true. And you also spoke of the porn that you did. You didn't do the male-on-girl, but the girl-on-girl and solo. What are the most that you think the people watch, the solo or the girl-on-girl? Where do you get your most hits at? Because the solo, I know you're using vibrators and different things like that.
Well, the great thing about the porn industry and the viewers is, and this is something I also teach women, because they shouldn't think that, you know, skinny women are the only one that get attention, is that men, all men like different types of women. So, again, all men like different types of porn. Yes, the number one selling porn is girl on boy. That's just the way it is. But there are a select, well, there are, people have niches. It's like fetish makes the most money as a niche. And so for, there, when I was doing, I think, GlamourCon, I learned very quickly about different little niches and things that guys had, little, how do I say it? Okay, I won't say it. So I was sitting there, and I noticed that nobody would come to my table because I'd never been a Playboy model. I was just at this convention where they have a lot of Playboy models, and everyone was scared. And I finally asked this one guy why he won it, for one, because he was a little scared guy, and why most people won it. And he said that, well, there are a lot of guys out there. And then I thought about it, and I was like, this is very true, that do not like girls who spread their legs open and get naked and blah, 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 where Playboy, the girls get their legs closed, et cetera, and it's very classy. And the same with Maxim models. There's guys that don't like it when girls take their clothes off at all. They just like the models in the bikinis. So I quickly learned, being in the adult industry, that there's all types of little things that guys like. And you can't just say that one guy likes this or that or one size girl. And that's the great thing about being in the adult industry, is that if you are a certain way, you're going to have a group of people that like you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you this. Do you get an agent to get into that business, or you just venture out and meet somebody that knows somebody and, you know, get it like that?
Usually when you're working at a strip club, you'll get tons of people that will come to you, because usually that's the next step up, is the adult industry. And I did have a lot of people that came to me, but I never worked with anybody. I've always done everything on my own. But in my book, the LA book, I do offer a section in the back on how to get into the adult industry, because so many people ask me. And there are tons of agencies in LA, and they're usually called, you know, adult modeling agencies. And you would go, you'd want to find that one that was good. And then you would get pictures taken, and they would hire you, and they would post you on their website. And then people would say, oh, yeah, I want that girl for this movie, or I want her just for a photo shoot. I mean, it could be anything. And then they would book you through, and that's how you get your jobs. And then, of course, you meet people when you go on set, and you find out more stuff, and it just kind of goes like that.
So what is an audition like when you want to be a porn star? Do you have to engage in a sex act, or you have to have a good body? Just what is there, first of all, is there an audition to become a porn star?
Well, there really are no auditions to become a porn star. They're not going to have you come on, you know, a casting couch and have sex with them. It pretty much goes, because, I mean, honestly, when it comes to porn, anybody can have sex. It pretty much comes down to how good you look. And then, again, there's different segments, you know, different markets, you know, for fetish, BBWs. So if, you know, if somebody wants someone who's skinny or huge boobs, there's going to be a market for it. So the agencies usually hire a little bit of everything just so that they can cater to all those different markets. And then it gets based on how good you are. I mean, you can be a girl who's sexy and has, you know, a great body, but if you get on set and you're not enthusiastic and acting like you're enjoying it, then you're probably not going to last very long in the adult industry.
How comfortable were you when you first started in the industry with all the cameras and the lighting?
I think it's just like anything. I know this may sound funny, but, you know, I've taught sex classes. I've done interviews on radio. I've done interviews on TV. I've been on TV shows. And anytime you do something new, it's going to feel a little odd and you're going to be nervous at first. But as you continue on to do it, you see yourself getting better and better and better. So, yes, I was a little nervous, but it had nothing to do with me being naked or anything like that, because I've always been a nudist. And so it's just, this is kind of how it works. You just get better. And
now
I'm just
curious, do you have any children?
No.
Okay. I always want to know when people start to have children, how do they feel about being in the industry, you know, when they have children after that. So let me just ask you, what is your perception of that, of, adult porn stars who have children? What would be your response or your advice to how they should live their lifestyle? Do you think that they should quit and give up the lifestyle? Like, would you, if you decided you're going to have children later on in life, would you give up that lifestyle?
Well, I can't speak for someone else, and it's not my place to tell somebody else what they want to do with their life. So whatever
that's
they
why
do,
I converted
you know,
it
that's
to
what
a
they do. Yeah.
You.
So now I'll talk about myself. But for me, I would. I mean, I'm very comfortable with what I do. Everything that I do, I'm not ashamed of it at all. So I definitely would not be ashamed of it if I were to ever have kids. Just because I don't want to put shame on something. As soon as you put shame on something, which society has no problem doing, I mean, it has nothing to do with even sex. It has to do with just putting shame on your body and the way young girls look. And it's and then you see these girls growing up with no confidence. And then and it affects their life later in life with dating, work, motherhood, and everything. So I definitely... I mean, I know people say, oh, I don't want my kid to get into porn, but honestly, I really wouldn't care if they got into porn as long as they were happy with their life and they were doing the right thing and it made them happy.
Mm-hmm. Would you want your daughter to, you know, if she said to you, Mom, I want to do what you did, you know, would you be accepting to that or would you direct her to do something else in her life?
Oh, I would definitely be accepting of it, and I would not... care at all what they did, like I said, as long as they're happy. And but I would also help them with the industry because I know that there's a lot of wrong things you can do, and I believe that I could help them with finding, you know, getting the right things like the jobs and stuff like that without making mistakes, as many mistakes.
Okay. Now you also did pinup content. Explain to the listener audience just what that is.
Okay, so when I started my adult work, you have to find your niche, and because anybody can be naked online, and there's a lot of girls that just get naked. And I didn't want to just be a girl that just got naked online and was like, oh, here I am, I'm pretty. I needed something else that made me stood out. So if you go to my website and you see my work, it's mostly themed, meaning it's pinup, burlesque, there's some fetish, and that's kind of what made me stand out with the glamour and just kind of bringing sexy back to the adult industry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to take a little break and we'll be back.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here, only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
You taught me precious secrets I'm a true love, holding nothing. You came out in front when I was hiding. Now I'm so much better, and if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love is in there hiding.
Listen up, I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new, revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book, because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com.
All right, thank you. that song, Donny Hathaway, a song for you by the late Donny Hathaway. Sorry about that. That's a beautiful song. And if you're just tuning in or if you've been listening, our evening's guest is Sianna Sinclair. She's a love coach, an adult entertainer. She's written two books. She does pinup, fetish, glamour, burlesque, and, you know, she's all into the adult entertainment. And if you have a question or a comment, feel free to call in. The number is 646-652-2877. And I do have one of my co-hosts on here, Jadino. How you doing, darling?
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic. Do you have any questions or comments you'd like to give Sienna?
Oh, yeah. I was listening in on her when y'all were talking about the porn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty hands-on, pun intended, on porn. As far as how it goes, I was telling people, it's like, it's a real professional business. When you see the movie, it's like when they film it, it's nothing like what you think it is. I don't know. Do you agree with that? When I say that, I mean, it's real technical. Like, they actually have, if you can hear the audio that really goes on when they're filming the movie, you'll be like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, I offer behind-the-scenes porn shoots here in L.A. that people can come to, and I've given quite a few of them, and people are always shocked at how technical it is, because we had one recently where the guy couldn't stay hard, and he brought his own fluffer, so he kept having to go to the back to get fluffed, and then he also had to take some pills to stay hard. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on that people,
yeah,
but it's
like
nice to see the behind the scenes.
You know, the fluff girl, fluff whatever. And they have the guy, the directors right there, like telling you exactly. So everything you're seeing is like pretty much they're telling you what to do. So a lot of guys say, well, I want to do that. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, man, it's like I couldn't. I was like, hey, be quiet. But it's like you got to be real professional. So for them to make them, to make it look the way it looks.
Yeah, we tell them, you know, the best positions for the camera. And then when it's time to come, they have to come on command. So what they usually do is, this is not caught on camera, but they usually pull out, jack off a few times, like, you know, like rub one off. And then we say, okay, come on. And then right when they're about to come, then they do it. Yeah.
Exactly.
I've always
wondered. I know in the older ones, it'd be like the guy couldn't get up. He couldn't get hard. He would, like, do some close-in, like the Showtime version of sex. And then they had the close-up with the stunt pecker.
Okay.
They have another guy, like, the same complexion or whatever, doing the close-up. By the way, you can never give me that behind-the-camera job.
It's not all fun and games sometimes. People think that any guy can be a porn star, but it's like, let's get you in front of 20 people that you don't know,
mm-hmm.
and let's see you be able to get hard on command and then come on command and stay hard for, like, an hour or more.
So it's definitely a respected profession for all I'm concerned, because it's entertainment. Like, they say wrestling is fake, and I'm like, yeah, it's pretty much choreographed, but you still have to have skill to be able to, like, do the maneuver and all the food and shit. You know, I know.
Even the women,
sure
I think, I think it takes a special someone, a special woman to be a porn star. That's why I never want to be one, because they're on set for hours, and I just couldn't do that to myself. But that's just, you know, so that's why I would say, like, it takes someone very special to be a porn star.
Right, because they make it look believable, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do. The good ones do. The good ones do. Sometimes I've seen some bad porn where the girl wishes she probably wasn't there.
There's something else I always wonder. Do the women actually have orgasms, or is it just faking it for the camera?
Yeah, I can't speak for everybody, but I know that I've done solo shoots and I orgasm while masturbating, so I'm sure that there's some girls that do, you know. But I would say the majority are fake.
Yeah,
I think y'all got it made. This is my number one question. I'm sure every guy listening or every guy I know want to know this, and I want to know this. Squirt. That seems to be like the end thing. I've seen some porn stars. I don't follow their whole career. They wasn't squirting when they first came out. I also been with women that I was with when I was younger. When we were together again, all of a sudden now, everybody's a squirter. Oh, my God, you're a squirter. I'm like, that better not be.
That's a learnt technique,
well,
I think.
That's definitely a niche. I squirted before, but it took me a long time to do it, even after going to sex classes and learning where my G-spot was and rubbing and rubbing and rubbing. And it's, you just never know when it's going to happen because you can follow all these textbooks and say, okay, this position is best, this toy is best. But when it comes down to it, it's just listening to your body and just kind of going with the flow, and you never know what's going to happen. But there are, I've seen some very impressive squirters. I had a party recently where this girl, she was squirting just from being spanked, and it was like massive just amounts of stuff coming out
right.
of the fluid. And it was amazing. I couldn't do that.
But I understand as well that when they have them, like the porn stars, they have like a little apparatus that they're squeezing to make it gush out like it's coming out like a fountain and just gushing all these feet away from you. I've never seen, nobody in real life squirt because I'm not a squirter myself. But, you know, just watching, seeing it on porn, it's kind of unbelievable to me. Not to say that it's not true, but I just can't. It just doesn't seem real to me that it comes out the way that I've seen it in porn.
Well, it's definitely real. It's definitely real. I've seen it. I've done it. I've seen other women do it. I've helped women, you know, to squirt. It's very impressive. And I think the reason why people can't believe it is because it was never talked about before. And now that it's being more brought out in the open and people are talking about it and taking classes on it and seeing it finally, it's like, oh, my gosh, this can't be real because I've never seen it before.
I've seen
kind
it
of
for
that
real
attitude.
And I've seen a few faces in person.
Yeah, there's always been
you
people.
You've seen it in person,
fake orgasm.
Yeah, and I had a couple of squirters that were legit.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a couple. I was like, y'all lucky I got a rubber mattress because this is not what you're seeing. And I'm real technical because I look at videos and I do a lot of shooting. Like you say, they had a little fake little thing they squeeze, too, that make you think it's coming from there. Because, yeah, most times you're looking at it for the sensation, but I start getting technical. And you can
mm-hmm.
tell, like, you can see the hole that it's actually coming out on some of them. So that's
mm-hmm.
not, you can't fake that
yeah.
part. So.
I mean, the
and
good porn companies are going to get girls that can really squirt. They're not going to waste their time because there's so many girls that can out there.
Right, and what about these guys when they ejaculate all this cum be coming out? Because when I see in a condom, you know, after guy ejaculates, there's not that much in the condom that they're coming out, you know, in those porn movies. So are they using, like, a little apparatus with that? I was told they was doing that as well. Because, you know, you can make a movie look so real by doing different things to enhance
well, yeah,
whatever's going on with it.
You can make anything look real, but you can't take one thing and say that's the way everyone does it because everything's different. There's some guys, you know, if they jack off too much, they're not going to have that much come out. But if you're a porn star, you know that you need to save it up. So it's usually when you haven't had sex in a few days and you're not jacking off and you've saved it up that a lot can come out. And there are just some that just have a lot that just come out in general. And there's some guys that they don't really squirt that much at all.
That is really something. So now that there's been this, I don't know if you know some of the porn stars, Mr. Marcus and Shawn Michaels and such stars as those, but there was a thing going on where one of the porn stars had spread gonorrhea to some of the female porn stars. Why aren't they using condoms?
Well, why aren't regular people who aren't in the porn industry using condoms? I mean, when I go out on a date, on the first date, I can't tell you how many guys look at me and say, oh, you look clean. Let's not use a condom. And that's scary. So to say that
yeah.
a small percentage of the population should be using condoms, well, how many people are in this world and how many diseases are spread every day because regular people aren't using condoms?
Right.
It's such a small population that as soon as somebody hears something, it's so blown up out of proportion. And you're taking a very small percentage of the population. And honestly, they're some of the most cleanest people because how many people can you say get tested on a regular basis? They don't. Some people haven't ever been tested in their life. And they're out there having sex with people, and it's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of a scary thing right there, because the guy, he knew that he had it, and he went right back to work.
Wow.
Yeah, I know guys out there that know they're HIV positive and they're not in the porn industry, and I know that they're sleeping with women without condoms on, and that's scary. But the thing is you can't blame the guy who has HIV. You need to blame yourself for not protecting yourself.
That is true. But in the industry, they just, I guess they say they get tested every week or something like that, but not to say in between that testing time you can't confiscate some type of STD, you know. So my thing is that the safest way would be to wear a condom.
Well, I mean, just the safest way with anybody, we're not even talking about porn, is to use a condom. But again, it goes back to
right.
Just,
yeah,
people don't.
But we're talking about porn now. Yeah, you are right. You
I know,
are
but I don't
want to
make it. I don't want to make it about porn and make it to where, like, oh, again,
right.
You know, it's kind of. I feel like it's blown out of proportion and putting it all on the porn people, when I don't think it should be that way.
Right, that is true, because it's nowadays just it's very dangerous. It's almost
It's dangerous dating out there.
When you have sex with somebody, you know, you have to be very cautious.
I mean, you can get spit
know.
On and get Ebola.
That's true.
And die in a few days. At least with AIDS, you can live a full life with good medication.
That is true. Yeah. So now let's talk about your solos. What convicted you to do solos, opposed to, you know, having a partner, you know, male? Because I know you said you do girl on girl, but
yeah.
What about male?
Because as I said before, it takes a special girl to be a porn star, and I'm not that special girl, because I don't want the wear and tear. I just can't do it. I can't do that on camera. It's not for me. Where solo is a lot easier, and being on set for an adult film, it can be a full day, you know, and that's just not really something that I want. I never wanted to be a porn star. I have other goals. The adult work was just a stepping stone to get me to where I am today.
Right, and you direct your own films.
Yeah, I direct my own films, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I pay people to do porn and make money off of it.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Back to Zero is a fictional story with a dash of reality. It's a tale about Anthony Thomas, a man who lost the most precious things in his life, starting with his first childhood love, Gloria. Tragedy soon followed after losing his mom to cancer, and shortly thereafter, he lost his wife, Lynn, and son, Junior, in a horrific car crash. With each traumatic incident, Anthony was branded, sending him back to zero. 30 years later, Anthony runs into Gloria, and the flames in their hearts are still burning. Gloria, now a law enforcement official who also comes with baggage, a psychotic husband named Wayne Anderson who is out of control. He, too, is a law enforcement official that's abusive, jealous, and an alcoholic. Wayne treats Gloria miserable. While snooping behind his wife, he finds out that she had research information concerning Anthony on the internet. Wayne goes into a rage of madness like a rabid dog because in his sick, twisted mind, he feels threatened and accuses Gloria of sleeping with Anthony. Often he would evict her from the house, but not realizing the night would come when he forces his wife straight into the arms of Anthony. After spending an intense, earth-shattering night of lovemaking, Gloria opens up and confesses to Anthony that she still loves him. Rekindling their relationship is dangerous, and Wayne will stop at nothing to make his wife and her first love's life a miserable hell while fighting his own demons. Wayne harbors a deep, dark, and deadly secret, one he thought he and only the devil knew. Find out what happens when Gloria uncovers the truth about her abusive, lawless husband's mysterious past. The devastation will bring the three of them together in an explosive confrontation. Find out the shocking secrets Wayne harbored and prepare yourself for who will pay the ultimate price for his lawless actions. Gail Delicious Johnson says, Back to Zero will take you where the law becomes the abuser. Order this fast-paced, action-packed field drama by best-selling author Gail Delicious Johnson from her web store at JJ Publishing. That's JAYJAY
www.abusepublishing.com. Remember, abuse is never an option.
Washington, Only Those in Love, and we're back with our guest this evening, Sienna Sinclair. If anybody's out there listening, you have a question or comment, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877, and you can ask Sienna any question about the adult entertainment. Okay, so Sienna, what are you doing nowadays? Are you still making your little films, or... Because I noticed that I read also that you're going to be become a love coach. Is that correct?
I'm already a sex coach. I have up my website for sex coaching. Actually, my program is called Naughty Lifestyle Coaching. I teach people how to live a naughty lifestyle and become more confident in everything that they do. And it's not just about sex. And I'm doing my naughty travel guide with the Vegas one coming out in December and San Francisco next year. There's a lot in the works. I'm moving more away from the porn side, even though that website will still be up, and moving more towards coaching and my naughty travel guide.
Okay. So sex coaching, that just basically deals with letting somebody know how to make love and different things to do in the bedroom, being sexy. Give us a little bit about your sex coaching.
Yeah, so when it comes to dating and sex, what it really boils down to are two things, and that's confidence and communication. So when most people come to me about something, it's usually one or the other, or both. And then there are some people who are super confident and do communicate with their lovers, and those are another type of people. Or they come to me and they say, like, hey, you know, we're having such great times. We're just looking for ways to spice things up, whether it's events here in L.A. or trying something different that we've never done before. And so then I'll help them with that.
Okay. All right, so you're doing a lot of things, and what does your clientele look like? Is it men and women or just women?
It started out as mostly men because of the adult work, but everything I've done has always been female-friendly, so I've always had a good women fan base, especially with my burlesque and then moving into the travel books because they are female-based, like it's called Naughty Girls Guide, and also with the sex coaching. So it's becoming more female-based, but it's still more men. And the ages run from, which I'm really surprised, 20s to 60s, because I also host naughty parties here in L.A. on a weekly basis where I'm always doing something naughty and fun, different themes. And the people that come to it, again, are in their 20s to probably, I would say, the average range is like 25 to late 40s, but it can also vary up to 50 and 60.
Okay, a naughty party. My mind is going all over the place with that. Explain just what a naughty party is, because it can be a variety of things that are going through my mind. So explain to our listening audience just what a naughty party is.
Yeah, so I believe that everyone has their own naughty level, and I don't think that you should ever do something that you're not comfortable with, because naughtiness does not have to be, you know, fetish or anything extreme. It can be sexy. So I do have naughty parties that are just going to see a burlesque show. And then I have more naughty parties where I had one recently where we did a topless drive-in movie theater. So I rented out a drive-in movie theater downtown L.A. And people dressed the theme for the 50s. It was 50s theme. And then I had topless waitresses that roller skated around and took people's food orders. And we watched 9.5 weeks, even though that was not 50s. And then I had a topless roller skating disco party where I rented out a roller skating ring and everyone dressed up in disco attire and we skated topless. So those I consider would be a little tame. And then recently I had a naked tiki pool party where I had a topless mermaid swimming in the water and you could swim with her, hula dancer, fire performer, a topless bartender. And then people got naked, swam, and it was in this big mansion. So he had a lot of bedrooms, and then people turned into, like, you know, whatever people wanted to do in the bedrooms.
Oh, okay. So that's the ideas that I was having. You would have, you know, different things going on, like, you know, as such in, you know, the naked party where people came and did whatever they wanted to do in those bedrooms. You know, that was their thing.
Yeah.
And you sell adult novelty as well?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what is it? I heard someone chime in.
Do you sell adult novelty as well in your naughty parties?
Oh, no, I don't make it about, I try not to sell and promote stuff because I just want people to have fun. But people know on my websites where to go and buy stuff. So I do have an adult website for toys that you can go to and buy pretty much anything.
Okay.
And I also teach sex classes in L.A., so like recently I had an anal 101 class, a spanking, and then next week I'm having a blowjob class. And these are interactive, so people can participate if they choose to. Most people are shy, but
you said you said you had an anal 101 class?
Yeah, so it's live demos. People can also demonstrate, like come up and, you know, participate if they want to. So, yeah. I attend a lot of sex classes, but you only learn so much. And I always felt like I wanted to go that extra mile with doing demos so people could actually see the positions and see what's going on.
What is your suggestion to someone who says, you know, I want to get into, you know, the porn star industry or porn industry, or, you know, they want to start off strip dancing or whatever, what would be your suggestion on how they would start off that way or at least start off in the porn industry?
Well, first, I mean, I have people come to me and I would just make sure that, you know, they're comfortable with waking up in the morning and looking at themselves and being comfortable with their family finding out, because, you know, all those things are going to happen. You never know if your dad's going to see your grandfather. You never know who your brother or whatever. And you also just have to, because porn can really bring a girl down and make you feel bad about yourself. And like I said it before, it takes a very special someone to be in the porn industry, because girls usually don't last more than a year. And it's a tough business, just like Hollywood's a tough business. But and I would also say, okay, if you think you can do it, get 20 random strangers and then find a guy to randomly have sex with and see if you can do it too that way.
Wow.
Because that's kind of how a porn set's going to be, you know, especially if you get on the big set. You need to be comfortable with having sex. People think it's so easy, but it's not that easy.
Wow.
And you also need to be comfortable with, if you do get famous, you're going to have stalkers. You're going to have these men that you probably don't fancy hitting on you left and right, and you got to know how to deal with people and be a people person.
Right. Now, what if someone, because I know you had mentioned size, you know, if you're skinny or whatever. What about a full-figured woman? Maybe somebody weighs like 240, 50 pounds. Are they as welcome in the porn industry opposed to a model-sized person?
Yes, that's a very popular niche. The one thing about porn,
yes,
is if you can get into a niche, you're going to do better than if you just are a pretty girl who sleeps with guys. Because niches is really where the money is, like fetishes. BBW is a huge, huge, huge market. And they're, I mean, especially if you're a pretty BBW, that's even better. But then there's BBWs that have cats, and there's guys or women that like that. I mean, there's the suicide girls that I think have done great with showing that beauty is whatever it wants to be. There's people with piercings, body tattoos all over them, which most people might consider freaks, but they've made a lot of money off that website.
Wow.
And that's what I love about porn, is it really shows that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and everyone's beautiful to somebody.
Right. That is true. I'm hearing some background noise.
I know. I don't know whose it is. It's not mine. It must have been whoever came on.
You might have heard my computer beeping. I just cut everything off.
Okay, so I just had some scraping.
It might have been y'all.
Yeah. But, yeah, so you said if you're big and beautiful, you know, that's something that's going on in the industry. Because I know I've seen BBWs in, you know, some porn DVDs. But they just seemed like they were just random BBWs. You know, somebody had just went down the street and saw a big woman and just picked her up. And I know that's probably for somebody who was maybe amateur or something like that, because there are some beautiful, and when I say beautiful, there are some beautiful BBWs out here, you know, and I have seen some beautiful BBWs as well. But, you know, I was just wondering how prevalent it was as far as, like, BBWs being in that industry, you know, because they don't.
Well, even with BBWs, there's niches within BBWs. There's, you know, guys that like the BBWs with the really big stomachs, and they like to be smothered with them. I mean, I could go on and on with what people like, but within a niche, there's always going to be another niche. And
Right. So, it's a big niche for BBWs, though, and a lot of them are pretty. And a lot of people are in it, like the stomach, they want the whole thing. But I know what she's saying, but some of them are actually built. I call them big Barbie dolls. They built just like a small girl, just bigger. And I always say, you like chocolate cake? Don't you want a big piece? So that's how that, I'm telling you, it's a big, it's a giant market for models. The BBW itself, they do like the most infamous, I'm going to say Caucasian, is Samantha 38G. She's like really hot in the industry now. And she's older. She's not only a BBW, she got some age on her. She's still
older. And MILFs are really popular too. Older women.
MILFs are like,
super
that's
popular.
The new thing.
Yeah.
What is the,
I mean,
what is the oldest?
They're always going to come up with something new.
What is the oldest porn star that, you know, is out there? Or what age do they stop letting them, you know?
I mean, I don't know for sure. I'm sure there's probably a 9-year-old porn star out there, because GILF is also a niche. Not super popular, but it's a niche. But I do know that Nina Hartley, I can't say for sure, but mm-hmm. I know she was super big in the 80s, so I'm guessing she's in her 50s. Pushing late 50s, I'm not sure. But I know that she's still very active in the adult industry, and that's really impressive because she has a huge following and fan base.
Because I know it's this, I don't know if he's Asian, Chinese, or Korean, and he's 80, he's 80-some years old, and he's still, you know, doing porn.
Wow. Well, you know, we used to love going to the show getting that ginseng root back in the day. We heard that make you laugh, though. So maybe he on something you don't know about.
I don't know, but
that's
he,
a long
he's,
time,
I think he's 88, 89, something like that. But he's still doing porn. He's either Asian, Korean, Chinese, or one of those, you know. But
well,
yeah,
that's to help him live longer.
He's
out
there being
active.
Yeah. I believe
I got a good thing is that a lot of people give up when they get older with sex, and you shouldn't, you know. It's what keeps you going.
Right, because I know some friends of mine that they say they don't have the desire anymore, and, you know, they just being to be with their husband on one side, they're on the other side. But I just can't. I'm still
I mean, you can
very
easily
sexually
tell.
Active
yeah.
with myself.
I always say you can tell when someone's not having sex or not happy with their sex life because it shows on your face.
Yes,
it can also
yes,
age
it
you too.
Their attitude and everything, especially women, you can tell when a woman is not having sex. She's very moody, very has attitude,
yeah.
and just, you know,
older.
Just,
yeah.
yeah, terrible, you know.
Yeah, we gotta.
So I'm not in a relationship with anybody or having sex with anybody. I'm doing myself, you know, keeping it going. But I know the benefits of having orgasms, you know, so that's one of the main reasons why I'm going to keep
yeah.
it going.
And also, yeah, when you're having sex, you're taking better care of yourself, you're dressing better, you're feeling sexy. I mean, there's so many things that, you know, it's when women come to me with their sex coaching, it's very just sad to see a woman just kind of give up on her sex life. And
yeah, and then they be so young in their 40s. And then when you're 40s is when a woman really peaks, her sexuality peaks in her 40s because, you know, when I got in my 40s, it was off to the races. You know,
yeah.
and you can tell. You can tell
it
because
my,
that's all
it
you
my
30s want.
For me, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to be mad about being in a relationship like that. And they get liberated by their 40s and leave me. So I'm like, oh, come on, I'm just almost there. So I've been with some 40-year-olds. I'm like, man, it's a whole different game, man.
Yeah, because that's when.
Yeah, I don't ever understand
woman.
Why guys want to sleep with young little girls like in their 20s. Because when I was 20, I didn't really know that much. I would much rather sleep with someone, and like myself, I prefer older men because I don't want to sleep with a 20-year-old boy, even though they swear they know everything. But I want to sleep with an older guy. Just I would think that men would want to sleep with older women because
someone with
way
experience.
More experience.
Yeah,
yeah. And not laying there.
Need
and
that
and
experience.
Girls, they think they know everything when they're young, but you don't.
Yeah,
always said it takes a long time to be a doctor, so when you get up mm-hmm. there, you should be a professional by that time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's why younger men like older women because, you know, they know that we're more satisfying and we know things. You know, opposed to these young girls coming up, they don't, you know, I'm not saying all young girls because there are some young girls out here who do know what they're doing, but the majority of them, they don't. Some of them never even had orgasms, you know, before. So,
well, most,
you know,
a lot of women in their 30s and 40s have never had an orgasm. So it's not just 20-year-olds. It's just, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that have not had orgasms.
Yeah.
I think I had my first orgasm when I was in my 20s. Because I didn't know.
I had my first orgasm when I was 4 years old.
When you was what?
Oh, wow. She said 4 years old.
I learned quickly that if you humped a pillow or humped the side of the couch, something pleasurable would happen.
Mm-hmm. Right, well,
but then
I
as I got older, I didn't have an orgasm with a man until I was, like, 22.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. I didn't have my first orgasm with a man until I think I was in my 20s. And it was really surprising to me because it was a G-spot orgasm. And that's rare to even have now. But, you know, the very first orgasm with a G-spot, and I'm wondering, what the heck is this, you know, because G-spot orgasm is so intense, you know.
How do you know it was a G-spot orgasm if you never had an orgasm before? I mean, if you didn't know.
How did I know?
Yeah.
How did I know? Because how it felt. You know, I could feel the pulsating coming from a different area. It wasn't coming from my clitoris, you know. So I just figured that's what it was.
So much different.
Also another spot in your vagina called the A spot, which is way deep inside, but
so
usually
deeper
takes someone
than,
who's
yeah.
Yeah, I heard of the A spot. But I don't think it was the A spot if it was deeper, because this person
that's
wasn't.
A lot of background noise.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that noise?
Oh, that's not me.
Well, who came on last? It wasn't on before.
Okay, it's gotten quiet now. It sounded like some scraping or something was going on. But, you know, as far as, like, having orgasms, they are very helpful for people. And, you know, you can tell, like you had mentioned, when a person isn't getting sex, you know, because their attitude and everything, it changes. It's just not, you're not a happy person. And this is another thing that happened to me. This is the second time it's happened. The other morning I was laying in the bed asleep, and I was dreaming. I don't even know what I was dreaming about, but I knew it wasn't a sexual dream. Then all of a sudden I started having this orgasm, and it was so, I mean, it was just like so intense. It was really intense until I was like shaking. I could feel myself shaking in the bed. And after I had that orgasm, my stomach was like fluttering. And another time I had, and I didn't touch myself or anything, and I didn't have any sex in my mind, anything. And another time I experienced that one night when I had got up and went to the bathroom, came back and got in the bed, and before I dozed off, I was just having this orgasm, and I'm just saying to myself, you know, I love them, but I just don't want that to be occurring all the time, because there was one young lady, a couple of young ladies that had these, what do you call it, these...
nonstop orgasms.
Yeah, these nonstop orgasms.
I saw a special
right, and then a woman said it's painful, you know, to keep going through that, you know, but
right.
It happened twice for me, and I did enjoy it.
For some people, it's very exhausting because it's
mm-hmm.
just nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
So some people may experience pain, but there are for the most part, it's very exhausting because it's just nonstop orgasm, especially when you're having a full body orgasm.
Right, all your muscles and stuff.
Yeah, and
yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think
two times is not gonna be a problem. Because these are people that have a serious, like, I don't know if it's called a disease or something, but they have a serious issue where they, no matter what they do, they just can't stop. But that's also very rare.
They went to an emergency room because she was having multiple orgasms, and she had it for like over 2 hours or so.
I saw that post.
Her husband was in it with her.
Yeah, he was like recording and he was laughing, but they were like amazed because they never even seen it. The hospital people never seen it. The staff. So you know, it is doable. I mean, we've heard on shows before where people are stating that they've had it for like up to 30 minutes, but for a few hours or so, it's going to be very exhausting because your muscles and everything is contracting and you're just going through such a stimulating emotional status with your energy and everything that it's like it can be overwhelming.
Right.
Yeah,
she couldn't even go out because she was afraid that, you know, it was going to be happening in public. And one lady had actually killed herself behind it. But, you know, and then something said, I wish that was me, but you don't really want to be in that position, I don't think. I know I wouldn't want to be in that position where I'm just having multiple orgasms one after another.
Oh, yeah.
No, because like
you go from feeling excited for the person that's being able to have that to almost
mm-hmm.
feeling sorry for them because you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, because it's going from that feel-good emotional state to that exhaustive state to that. I just can't believe it. And then you're so afraid that it, when it comes time to being in the physical sexual act, you're almost scared to do it again because you're like, am I going to, like, is that going to happen
yeah.
again? Is something going to, you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the sexual dysfunction with people.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, that's.
Well, I'm
that's,
glad
I'm
able to control mine, so.
Yeah, I, you know, like I said, that's the second time that has happened to me. Now, I've had dreams where I'm sleeping and, you know, have an orgasm like that. But like I said, coming from the bathroom and just laying in my bed and just having an orgasm, I didn't have sex on my mind, didn't touch myself or anything like that. And it was a full-blown orgasm, and it was really, really, really intense.
Well, you just said you went to the toilet, so you would have touched yourself and tissue.
Yeah, well, I had to wipe myself, but I'm just saying
well,
as far as like,
yeah,
when I got back in the bed.
Yeah, exactly. You might have got it going.
You might have had a hard, like you might have peed harder than normal. So I know one thing
maybe,
about a woman.
Maybe
I'd
your body was speaking to itself and it needed to release itself. Sometimes your body tells you things,
I don't
you
know.
Know.
I don't know,
time
but like I said.
It.
Right, but this the other morning now, I'm just laying in the bed. I didn't go to the bathroom the other morning. I'm just laying in the bed. Then all of a sudden I'm feeling something. Then the next thing I know I'm having this, oh, my God, this magnificent orgasm. And it was, you know, it was just out of this world. But, you know, like I said, and every time I would have, like, a wet dream, you call them wet dreams, I would, you know, have an orgasm. And sometimes I had a girlfriend who would call me, like, every morning to wake me up or call me to tell me something or whatever. And it seemed like when I was just getting ready to, because in a dream I'm somewhere and something's getting ready to happen. I'm getting ready to either get down with a guy or getting ready to masturbate or something, and the phone would ring and it would be her. And I said, girl, you're going to have to stop calling me this time of the morning because I was busy. She said, busy doing what? I said, I was busy getting ready to have an orgasm. Leave me alone.
Well, that might have something to do with it. Tell her stop
yeah,
calling.
Just turn your phone off.
And your body
well,
remember.
That was
busy.
Yeah, that was a while ago, you know, when I, you know, used to have the wet dreams, but, you know, it's progressing to me just out of the blue, just having these orgasms. And like I said, I hope it's not a build up to me having no multiple orgasms, because I will quickly go to a doctor, go somewhere to get that, try to get it in order, because I don't want to go through that.
You're fine. Multiple orgasms are okay.
It's fine?
You know, like, 3 in a row, 4 in a row, but if you're having them for, you know, 2 hours, yeah, that might be a different story. But also, like, how long between were you having those multiple orgasms within, like, 2 hours? That's another thing, yeah.
You have broken
it's just,
up.
It's just when
how
people...
long?
No, I'm just saying, like, you said a girl was having multiple orgasms for 2 hours. Well, was it constant for 2 hours? Then, yeah, that's a problem. But if it was multiple orgasms while having sex for 2 hours... in between, that's a different story.
Oh, I think so.
I've had multiple
that.
Orgasms
the one on
before.
Facebook, she, like, 2 hours after they had sex, she was in there, like, 30 seconds or so, having an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I saw this special on YouTube. This lady, like, she can't even make it to the back. She couldn't even talk through the interview. She was trying to take her daughter to school. On the way to school, oh, God, she couldn't even make it. It was like she just kept having them back-to-back the whole time that lady was talking to her.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, if it's not a sexual, like, yeah, going out in
yeah,
public and just taking a daughter to a school, that's a problem, yeah. That would not be fun.
I don't want to drive me nowhere until she got this straight.
Yeah,
know,
it could be something.
But you know that guy walking around bragging, saying, yeah, you see what I be doing. The husband was in there. He was making sure he was on the camera, like, y'all see me, right? See, I got it up here. So he probably thought it was cool at first, but when they had to go to the emergency room, it was a whole different story because you could actually see that she was tired.
Yeah, she was. I felt so bad for her.
Oh, my God. I thought
and
she
he was laughing
he
about it,
was
but
even
that's,
like, right,
that's not nothing to laugh at, you know. And then he acting like he had did something, but that wasn't what he had did. That's just something that happened in her.
Yeah, I'm like, didn't even help.
Yeah.
I never heard that happen with a man before, though.
You know, I haven't either.
Right.
Yeah, I
think
haven't
we
either.
Not, hey, I'm kind of jealous of that part. We'll be stupid. Men couldn't take it.
You just keep wetting your pants and wetting your pants.
Yeah, I would just walk around with a big Depends on. I mean, we would want that and end up dying from exhaustion.
But, yeah, you say you'd want
it. You don't really hear about guys. Yeah.
But how you going to look walking around with the front of your pants stuck out for hours and hours?
I would be
constantly having an orgasm. Your pants going to be wet in the front and a big bulge in the front.
I just be laying at the house. Come on through. Come see me because I can't come out. I call my boss and mom. I'm going to be on disability this week. I'm going to go ahead and ride this wave. Who knows? Yeah, that's why I think God, he know what he's doing, because men, we be stupid. Or we'll be walking around trying to show everybody, hey, look, this joint is going. I ain't doing nothing. I'm just standing here. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's better.
Wow.
I was talking to some older guys today, because when we was younger, I used to go fishing with them and stuff, and they used to always be on the boat telling these long tales about all the women they had. And I found out they was doing it so much when they was young because they knew when they got old they wasn't going to do it so they could get on the boat and lie about it. And now they don't have no story to tell because all of them take Viagra. So they actually telling us about some 30-year-old they tearing up right now. And I'm like, y'all, that's like Russian roulette for me. I don't think I ever want to be where I'm going to be on that kind of situation. You kind of you see blue or your joints stay long. A hard 4 than 4 hours. They said, if you ever stay hard longer than 4 hours, it'll never get hard again. So that's enough right there to tell me, nah, they got to have something else. I can take the fact that.
Yeah.
One dude said, I see blue now. I said, yeah. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to have fun. Tell you, Brandon, about that.
Yeah,
we're
taking notes. Taking those aids from men like Cialis and Viagra, that's pretty dangerous because they are saying that Viagra causes skin cancer and it can make you go blind and this can happen, that can happen, and have a hard penis for 4 hours. They say if your penis is hard for 4 hours, see a doctor. Oh, wow. What about after when it's supposed to go down within, let's see, 5 or 10 minutes, if it's harder, longer than
that. And you know
that.
Why they make that announcement? Because men's stupid. We'll be like, look, it's going to stay wrong. I'm going to call Sally. So they got to make that announcement. I was wondering.
Well,
any drug is like that.
I mean,
yes.
Some allergy medicines, like, you might experience bleeding from the eyes, and I'm like going, okay, why would I ever want to take that drug?
And you ever notice there is a little way you can kill you.
Yeah. And did you know that when you have to go to the doctor, they stick a needle in your penis to drain the blood out that's keeping it hard?
Somebody told me that's enough right there to tell me, okay, I'm going to take this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to risk all that.
And another thing, they get them black market. They get them from the doctor, then they go sell them, and a lot of these young guys I know taking them.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young,
when you're young, you should.
And that's not going to do anything but mess them up for later
on. Right,
because they're going
to
become dependent.
I'm dependent on them. That's what I was telling
them. Wow.
And I've always been scared because I started fighting a minute, so I don't ever want to take it and get in an argument with my woman. And then I start trying to make up with her. She's going to say, what's wrong with you? I'm like, nothing, baby. I just really want to be with you. You know, all this arguing is unnecessary. Then you standing with a heart on. She's like, what the hell's going on here? I'm talking to you about some serious matters, and you sitting here with your stuff sticking out in my face. So what you going to tell her? That was one of my things with that. Well, she changed her mind when I had friends come over. I wasn't married then. And they come over and start arguing and leaving. I'm just standing in the window looking stupid. So I was like, no, I ain't never. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, our society is so pill-focused and, like, always looking for a quick fix for something rather than looking at that you have a problem and getting to the root of it. Because a lot of men were like, I can't get hard, doctor, and the doctor will say, okay, well, here's a Viagra pill, instead of going, well, are you stressed? Are you not sleeping? Are you eating healthy? Which, you know, and looking at all these other issues.
You masturbate this morning.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, you know, I'm getting older and stuff, but pill is not always the solution.
Mm-mm.
And also, Viagra can have other problems.
Stay active, because it's all about circulation.
I know that's right.
A lot of guys don't believe it.
If you want to get circulation, then go get up and walk, you know.
Right,
go
that's
for a walk.
Come up. When you,
like,
when you
start
walk,
eating foods that help boost
back.
Circulation in your body.
Right. I don't know what I'm doing, but good. So far, God has blessed me.
Well,
so
that's
far,
good.
Yeah.
God has blessed me, too.
Some younger guys on my job, I see y'all smoke. Y'all drink, like, they can't even walk up a whole lot of stuff so much, y'all.
Smoking's very bad for,
I used to tell them women, I was like, they're like, what you be doing? I said, I don't do nothing. This is what I do. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't get high. This is my high right here. Stay right there 15 more minutes. I'm going to show you how I get high. So I believe.
Cigarette smoking and alcohol has an effect on when a man is trying to have a hard on because cigarette smoking constricts the veins so that blood is not moving, you know, in a fashionable way, too, when they want to get a hard on. And then also from the food they eat, drugs. There's a lot of things that contributed to when a man has erectile dysfunction, and they don't understand that. So be careful when you smoke, drink, do drugs, and your diet and exercise plays a very important part in how long a man will be able
and
to keep an erection.
It's very important.
And also,
did you say breathing?
Important. Lack of sleep and stress are some of the most two important things that keep men and women from having sex or even having more sex.
Yeah, stress will.
At this stage in the game, for me, it's mental. Because you can do a whole lot of stuff now that you could have did when I was younger. Like, I ain't even into that. But now I want to see you walk in the bathroom and come back over. So that's what I'm saying. It's in your mind. So you got to keep your mind ready to know.
Oh, yeah, you got to keep your mind young. Keep it going.
And when you're young, you just be like, sometimes, like I told him guy at work, he was like, hey, man, I had three girls this weekend. And you can tell him, like, she was talking about success in the industry and how people ain't doing it in the streets. They, after I listened to him while I smoked, they be like, yeah, man. I said, you had a condom on? He's like, yeah. She gave me some weed. Then I put a condom on. I said, stop right there. She gave me some weed. Then you put a condom on. Then someone say, why ain't condom in? Then I say, yup. Then round two came and you ain't had no more condom. You just said, well, baby, that's it. This time I catch you next time. Then they be looking all stupid. I said, they thinking. And I ain't lying. When I was young, I was like, yeah, if she won't wear a condom, I'm going to wear a condom. So we grew. And then, just like you said, yeah, I used to tell girls anyway. If I got it, I got it back in 83. God, before they said something about the monkey. Because I used to be into a whole bunch of heavy stuff back then. So, who knows? You know, I could be like 10 years down the line from now and then say, hey, I got it. So, I always, even on Murray, you still, and both of my wife, too, you still go get your status. You can be in the house all you want, but then your past might catch up with you because they claim they got laid dormant.
That's
what I tell them at work. And it's free. This would kill me. They don't even want to go by the, like, a job. I work for the government. They be having a little bus out there. You walk in there and they'll hit you real quick on your lunch break. I gotta hurry up, man. I gotta take my truck back. All right. All right, Kim.
Wow.
70 pounds lighter than you were last time, I'm gonna tell you anything. So that's what sex is like a real art form these days. You gotta make it count.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, Sienna, this has been a very, very interesting and enlightening show. Would you like to let people know how they can get in touch with you, your website, and, you know, how to purchase your books?
Yeah, I have one website that lists everything. Super easy. You just go and pick what you like. It's naughtylifestyleexpert.com, and it lists all my social networks, my stores, and all my websites. Or you can just Google my name, Sienna Sinclair.
And your website is what? Naughty what?
NaughtyLifestyleExpert.com.
Okay. All righty then. So we do appreciate you coming on tonight, Jadino. And Jay, do you have any closing remarks for Sienna?
I think I did mine already.
I just want to thank her for being on the show with us this evening. I mean, you enlightened us with a lot of, you know, you're very informative, and we want to thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, thanks for having me.
We're going to give you a great big round of applause for being our guest this evening. Alrighty then, Jay, do you want to let everybody know what you do on Blog Talk Radio and how to get in touch with you as well?
Yeah, we have an adult show where Miss Delicious is our co-host. You can find us on Erotic Talk Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Saturdays, we have a segment called the G-Spot Love Zone. So you can check us out there. And if y'all have Facebook, check us out on Facebook. We have a group page called Erotic Talk Radio, and that way you can get in and for some of our juicy but respectful conversations that we have. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, darling. Jadino, you want to let everybody know how to get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah. The main way to get me on Facebook is Jadino Blasto, on Gmail is J.DinoBlastko. At gmail.com.
Okay. You let everybody know you're on Facebook as well?
Yeah, that's what I say on Facebook. Yeah. Under no
oh,
doubt,
okay.
J. Dino Blasto.
Okay, and Sienna, you want to give out your website? Okay. You want to give out your website one last time?
Sure. It's naughtylifestyleexpert.com.
Okay. All right, everybody, Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and, you know, our subject matter is sometimes sexual but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, Sienna Sierra, for being our guest this evening, and our listening audience for your questions and comments when you do call in or make comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com, or you can send to Jadino Blasco. He just gave out his email address. It's j.dinoblasco@gmail.com. And the subject line, type topic or subject. We're here every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, giving you the guys the best guests and adult conversations on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. Thank you, Jade. Thank you, Jadino, and my listening audience. And thanks for the call-ins, the ones who didn't call in. Thank you anyway. Love you guys. Be safe and have a wonderful weekend. And if you're driving, don't drink. And if you're drinking, don't drive. I love talking to you, not about you. Love you guys. Good night.
Love you, too. Bye. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Thanks.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.